That song, Lord, I Done What You Told Me To Do, resounded through the halls of the White House on Tuesday night. That's the voices of the Howard University Choir. They were part of a White House performance series that's called A Celebration of Music from the Civil Rights Movement. The event included artists like Jennifer Hudson, Bob Dylan, John Legend, and many others. It'll be broadcast on most PBS stations tonight at 8 p.m. And we have two members of the Howard University Choir with us this morning. Good morning to Dr. James Weldon Norris. He's the conductor and director of the choir and a music professor at Howard. And his grandson, Brandon D. Strong, a singer and manager of the choir. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Dr. Norris, you have a long career, but you actually arranged that song that we were just hearing from the Howard University Choir, but it was performed at the White House. How did you write this song, Lord, I Done Done?
Well, you must remember I was raised in South Carolina, and my grandfather was a Baptist minister. So traveling with him throughout my youth, I heard these old church songs sung frequently. So this is an old black church tune that's absolutely just fascinates me every time I would hear it. It would usually be sung often after communion or sometimes at funerals and things like that. And so we were performing one night in Connecticut during the Beethoven Ninth. And on the way back, the bus was quiet. So I took out my music paper and my pen and I started to jot this tune down and do the arrangement. And I'm so glad I did because I just love it very much.
You know, the Howard University Choir, I'm sure they sing a number of spirituals, and the singing of spirituals with university choirs, it doesn't have as long of a history, perhaps, as many people think. Here's a recording of the Fisk Jubilee Singers from 1955. Fisk Singers were actually the first choir, really, to bring spirituals into the concert hall. And at the time, it was kind of revolutionary. The singing of spirituals was not entirely accepted by the African-American community.
Well, at this particular time, I don't think that you could say it wasn't accepted by the African-American community, but at the time the original Fisk Jubilee Singers did that. It's that most people just didn't get a chance to hear them. The Fisk Jubilee Singers happened to have been the beginning, let's say, of the Negro spiritual as a concert art form. And they really made it into one and developed one. It's absolutely fantastic the way they did it. In the later years, I think it became somewhat unpopular, let's say, to sing spirituals on college campuses and things because we were just going into a new light It was very unfortunate.
You kind of wanted to. People felt like you wanted to move on. Is that what you mean?
So what now?
The people felt like they should move on from the Negro spiritual tradition.
Yes, they didn't want to sing these old songs that reminded them of old times. They said, you know, one of those things, and it was very unfortunate. But then it began to revive, and with many of the traditional black colleges in America, you know, which were church owned. The spiritual began to be popular again, and people began to sing them and have a new respect for them and a new light for them.
Well, let's ask a younger generation, your grandson, Brandon D. Strong, a singer with the Howard University Choir. Brandon, how do you feel about the singing of these, what your grandfather just called, old songs?
Well, for my generation, we can't really relate to the music. However, it does mean something to us. And especially the other night, singing in the White House, you got a sense of the African diaspora, what it means to be the descendants of African Americans, and like a conceptual view of your culture.
But you don't feel a connection when you sing the words. That doesn't make you call up any special connection between you and the songs.
No, ma'am. Honestly, because these songs, most of the time, were used as coping mechanisms, like he said, in funerals. Then you have chain gang songs, and they were songs that represented what was going on at the time. And in my generation, we haven't had to go through struggles in the same right that they have. And our music that speaks through us now is so much different.
Who was you were there, Brandon, singing with a lot of famous performers. Who was the person you're most excited to sing near?
Honestly, Bob Dylan. Being on the same program as Bob Dylan struck a chord with me.
And you left right before Natalie Cole and Jennifer Hudson took the stage, is that right?
We left after Jennifer Hudson and Smokey Robinson sang, but before the Blind Boys of Alabama performed.
Oh, they're great.
Dr. James,
because of the snow.
Oh yeah, you had to travel out of D.C. before you got stuck there and couldn't get back to Howard University. You know, Dr. James Weldon Norris, it's very difficult for me to not associate your name with the famous civil rights singer James Weldon Johnson. You wouldn't happen to have been named after him, were you?
I was. James Weldon Johnson and my father were fraternity brothers, and so my mother tells me, and he insisted I be named after him.
I was just going to say, Johnson was a teacher at Fisk.
He was a teacher at Fisk, yes. He was a teacher at Fisk, a great writer. And he and his brother, J. Roseman Johnson, were great musicians. And they collaborated quite a bit. So you can see that his writing, Lift Every Voice and Sing, and our performing it, often it means so very, very much to me. Because if you actually dissect that poetry with a surgical scalpel, I call it, you will find that every line is a sermon.
Oh, that's interesting. And
it's a magnificent piece of music.
Lift Every Voice and Sing is often called the African-American National Anthem, written by James Weldon Johnson. And we've been listening to the voices of James Weldon Norris. He's the conductor and director of the choir at Howard University, also a music professor there. His grandson, Brandon D. Strong, is a singer and manager of the choir. Here is the song that one of the songs the Howard University Choir performed at the White House on Wednesday, arranged by Dr. James Weldon Norris.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.